of time, but this is a passage of scripture the Lord has impressed my heart with. It is probably one of the most familiar verses in the epistle of 2 Timothy, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it's found in verse number 15. And the Bible said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so I want to just kind of give an overview of 2 Timothy. I read this in the book of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Same message, same music, same standards, same. Would you pray that God would speak to your heart? Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your call upon our life. And I pray, dear Lord, that you might help us, that we might yield to thee. And I pray that you would fill us with your power. And Lord, would you accomplish your purpose in this time? Do what I cannot do, Lord. I thank you for the good preaching last night and on Sunday and this morning. We're grateful, dear Lord, that you've allowed us to be here. And I pray, Lord, that you might minister to our needs, get maximum glory for yourself. We pray it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake alone. Amen and amen. Got saved 1960. Got called to preach in 66. And I have been involved in church and in the matter of the ministry for, this is my 57th year. And when I first started out, the Lord created in my heart a hunger for God. Amen. And by the way, nothing else will satisfy that. Only God can satisfy it. The Bible said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so if my hunger is right, my affections will be right. I'll be laying up treasures in heaven, not on this earth. If my hunger is right, my allegiance will be right. I'll be seeking to serve the Lord, not two masters, but the Lord. If my hunger is right, my ambition will be right. I'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I've experienced this in meetings, and likened to this, I've heard young preachers make statements like this. We're not going to let this older crowd tell us how to preach, tell us how to minister in our church. I'm glad that the Apostle Paul had some interest in Timothy. And he's tried to instruct him and help him along the way. And so the key verse is 2 Timothy 2:15. And the key words, the word suffer and the word endure. The word suffer is found five times, and the word endure four times. And the theme of the book Paul is writing to Timothy is to challenge him to endure hardness. To endure hardness and afflictions, to be strong in the face of apostasy. And by the way, can I tell you, we're living in the day of apostasy. We need somebody to prop us up on the leaning side. We need somebody to challenge us to keep on keeping on the right track, the same message, same word of God with same conviction. And so I say the challenge is to endure pressures and affliction, to be strong in the face of apostasy. The epistle was written about 67 A.D., approximately. The writer's the Apostle Paul. It's written from Ephesus, and he's written to Timothy out of Ephesus, and it's written from a prison in Rome. And so the book, it's the 55th book of the Bible. It has four chapters, 83 verses. And in the order of writing, it's the 16th book of the New Testament. Now, here is the purpose of Paul writing to young Timothy. The purpose is to encourage Timothy to hold to and to be bold and fearless in his ministry. He didn't say be mean. He didn't say be controversial, but he said that to be bold and be
fearless. Listen, the main evidence of being filled or controlled with the Spirit of God is a boldness to witness. Amen. And read that in the book of Acts. And so I find he's writing the book to encourage Timothy to be bold and fearless, to encourage Timothy to be faithful in the time of testings. And by the way, if you're going to live for God, there's going to be some testings that'll come in your life and things that you never dreamed of. It'll happen in your life. He warns Timothy of the apostasy of the future. And then he asked Timothy to come and see him and bring the needed possessions. And we read that in this epistle. And so here's the division. In chapter 1 is the pastoral appeal. He's reminding Timothy of his responsibility and his privilege. But I say to you, it is a privilege to be a co-laborer with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessing, but what a responsibility it is. As I stand at the judgment seat, I'm going to give an account of all the deeds done in the flesh, whether it be good or evil. And I want to hear him say, well done, but he can't say well done if we haven't done well. I'm saying he's writing to Timothy. And by the way, we need some young Timothys today to be encouraged in the things of God. I don't ask folk to follow me, but you can follow me as I follow Christ. I'm saying how important that is. And so it's a pastoral appeal, and it reminds him of his responsibility and the privilege of being a servant of the Lord. Chapter 2 is a practical appeal, and it's with an effort to solve some of the problems that Timothy will face. In chapter 3, there's a prophetic appeal, and it points to the importance of holding fast. Holding fast. Amen. Could I say this? In chapter 4, there's a personal appeal, and it's appeal for Timothy to remain true. And so I find this in chapter 1. Here's Paul's concern about a concern for Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 1 through 6, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is also that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And so what's he saying? Here is Paul reminding that he's to remember some things. He said, I remember, but you're to remember. In chapter 1, verse 7 through 11, he talks about the resources that God gives to young Timothy. In chapter number 1, verse 12 through 18, he speaks of the reward. I'm going to say to you, bless God, there is joy in serving Jesus, in being in the ministry, following the leadership of the Spirit of God, watching God touch lives, call young men and fasten them for the glory of the Lord. I say in chapter 2, Paul's challenge to Timothy, he said in verse 2, I want you to distribute the word of God. Give out. And by the way, it's not the matter of trying to manipulate people, but it's to give them the word of God. And the word of God never ever changes. And so he's telling Timothy he is to give the same message, stand on the same convictions. It's a matter of this, distributing the word of God. And then he said in verse 3 and 4 of chapter number 2, he said it this way. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so he's saying this. It's a matter, we're to be dedicated in the battle. There might be some days that you'll feel as low down as a snake in a wagon track, but I want to remind you that God in His grace and God in His mercy called you and placed you in the ministry. And our job is to do what? Preach the Word of God. Our job is to be dedicated in the battle. It's not a Sunday school picnic. It's not a recreation room. It's a matter of a battle. And that battle gets intensified as you get on down the road a little further. Let me say again, he said in verse number 5, notice what he said, 2 Timothy 4, 5, he said, and if any man strive for the ministries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. He is reminding again, there's to be discipline in the work. The wise man said this, that much study is wearisome to the flesh, but we are to study the scriptures. We're to know what we believe and why we believe it. It's not because Dr. Bottlestopper said it, but it's because God's Word said it. And by the way, that never changes. It'll work on Sunday. It'll work on Monday. It'll work in Bible conference. It'll work in camp meeting. I'm saying it'll work in revival. The Word of God will stand on its own base. So we're to do what? We're to be disciplined in our work. In verse number 6, the doing of the work. In verse number 7, he talks about the diligence. In verse 15, he talks about study and the word, dividing the word of God correctly. In chapter 2, in verse 22 to 26, he talks about direction. I need all that. And by the way, I appreciate you men that have followed the leadership of the Spirit of God. You have helped me in my Christian life. You've helped me as a preacher. By the way, don't ever get to the place where you think you've arrived and you know it all. And by the way, we've got people today, that young man has created a lot of conflict, that stood up and spoke where men was in the service that was twice his age. They probably forgot more than he'll ever know. And listen, he's created havoc when he said, I'm not going to let this older crowd tell us how to minister, how to preach. And by the way, I need some help. I want you to help me. And by the way, I'm not here to occupy space. I'm not here just to kill time. I want God to work in me that He might work through me. So Paul's concerned about Timothy. Notice him in chapter 3. And this is just an overview. In chapter 3, he talks about the peril of the last days. Notice what he said, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. By the way, we've been in the last days for a long time. And these are perilous days. And so the perils of the last day. In verse 2 and 5, he talks about the people of the last days. In verse 5, he gives a plea to the true believers. In verse 10 and 11, he talks about the program of the last days. And then in verse number 14 and 15, he talks about God's plan for the last days. And then there's a prophet, the prophet available in the last days, verse 15 and 16. We're living in the last days. Brethren, don't change your message. Don't compromise. Don't cut corners. Don't try to impress men, but seek to please our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's one thing to have the Word of God in your head, another thing to have the Word of God in your hand, but it's quite another thing to have the Word of God in your heart. In Psalm 119, he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, thereto, according to thy word. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm grateful for the ministry of men that I reverence and respect as in their wisdom and their help. I'm grateful for men that when I didn't know beef and bull's foot had time to sit down with me and to instruct me. And by the way, they've corrected me, and I didn't get mad about it. I said, praise God for somebody who has enough interest in me to keep me from some pitfalls along the way. By the way, I wouldn't be here today had it not been for somebody who helped me along the way. Undergird took me under their arm. That's what Paul's interested in Timothy about. And so he said, here's the charge of the last day in chapter number 4. He said in verse 1 through 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. preach the word. Not preaching about the word, but preach the word of God. Be instant in season and out of season. He said you're to do what? Reprove. Rebuke. And by the way, that reproving part is difficult to do sometime, but it is Bible. People need to know their sin and it'd be challenged from the word of God. He said, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heat themselves teachers having itching ears. And so we are living in a day of ministerial fabrication. I'm saying to you, not everybody who's standing in pulpits across this country that claim to be fundamental are God-called men. And I still believe that God calls men. And I believe that God calls qualified men. And I don't believe God has ever called a man that was not qualified. Y'all, you are welcome. I'm saying this. He said, preach the word. Don't let up. If it's one thing we need more today than any other day, is more of the preaching of the Word of God. It's through preaching that I learned what I was doing was wrong. It's through preaching that I found out I could get right with God. It's through the preaching of the Word of God that stabilized me and kept me going. Could I say, in all these years of preaching the Word of God, I've been low down. I've been discouraged. I've been defeated, but listen, somehow in the gable end of my soul, I've never wanted to quit. I don't have that in my vocabulary. I want to keep on keeping on till Jesus comes. Could I say, when the rapture takes place, and I'm expecting it any day, when the rapture takes place, I want to have my hand on the plow, my eyes on the goal, singing, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And so I say, he said, preach the word. Then he said in verse 5, prove your calling. Make full proof of thy ministry. He's saying this, personally illustrate your ministry. And he's saying, yeah, you profit from experience and the fellowship of others. I'm grateful for men like Dr. Lakin and men like Brother Ruloff and men like Dr. Crumpton. And men, I could name a list of as long as your arm, that had time for me and helped me along the way. Men that's highly respected and God used them mightily. But the Lord let me sit at their feet. And they sat at my table and eat at my table, slept in my bed, and had time to help me along the way. And so I want to say, I'll bring this just... I'm just bring these thoughts together. And there's some miscellaneous texts about apostasy. In chapter number 1 of 1 Timothy and verse number 6, the Bible said, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain janglings. He said, Timothy, I want you to understand that some have turned aside. And then he said in chapter 1 verse 19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which have some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. He said in verse 19, some have made shipwreck. Some have turned aside. In chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, he said it in verse number 15. He said in verse 15, he said, which in the times... In his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Could I say it? Let me see. I think I got it backed up in chapter 5, verse 15. I think I was reading the wrong verse. He said, for some are already turned aside after Satan. And boy, I've seen that. I bless the memory of men that sat in this church and ministered to us and shared their life and their experience. I think of Brother Mac Phillips was over there, Brother Ronnie Sutton, and think about Brother Larry Logsdon and other men. And then the list is so long of men that God has taken to glory. And could I tell you, you don't have any lease on life either. but I want my life to count for the Lord. And so he said, there's some have turned aside. Some have made shipwreck. Some have turned aside after Satan. But in chapter 6, in verse number 10 of 1 Timothy, he said this. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And could I say, some have been led astray. That's why we need to preach the same message and stand on the same convictions. And then he said in chapter 6, verse number 21, he said, which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace be unto thee, amen. He said there some have led astray and some have erred. These are all warnings. Chapter 2, he said in chapter 2, verse 1 and 15, he said that this thou knowest, that all they that which are in Asia being turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He said all these have turned aside. They've all turned aside. And could I say, if the whole crowd turns aside, you ought to still stand. You ought to still stand and give the same message and make the same appeal. Don't compromise. In chapter number 4 and verse number 16, let me read this. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may be not that it may not be laid to their charge. So he said, all men forsook me. Now I'm going to make a statement too, and I'm going to step out of the way. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe the word of God from the first word in Genesis to the last word in the book of the Revelation. I'm a fundamentalist. That's why I can't preach some places. That's why folks don't want me to preach some places. But I agree with what one of our brethren has said about the matter of preaching. I have never called and asked anybody if I could preach in their pulpit. I've had folks say, well, if you don't identify yourself as a missionary evangelist, you won't get meetings. I said, well, I got a good booking agent. He's called the Holy Ghost. And by the way, he keeps me busy, and I bless his name. I'm not a recovering fundamentalist. I still believe the old book. Still believe that salvation is by grace through faith. Still believe we're going to answer to God. I still want to plow straight for us. I still want to influence for the Lord. Still want to win somebody to the Lord. Still want to be faithful. Still want to see revival. Hey, in these last days, may God help us, having done all to stand, just keep on standing. Yeah. Jesus is coming. It'll be worth it all when we stand before Him. Yeah.